You're listening to V&A Shipping, written and read by J.R. Murdoch. For more information, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com.
Vic's eyes opened at June's alarm. Through the wall, he saw the black drone heading toward the ship on an intercept course. It would never come in contact with them, but it would give their position to whomever left it there. Had to be that sheriff. Vic rolled over and struggled to get out of bed.
No rest for the wicked, eh?
He smiled at June. Where had he gone wrong with her? At one time, they were so close. They would just sit for hours and talk and talk. Business had to be done, and slowly she kept more and more to herself. She spent a lot of time talking to Dexter, but that couldn't be it. That was an effect, not a cause. He had to put that out of his mind for the time being. She'd made it pretty obvious that she'd fancy Joey anyway. What could he do? Fight Joey for June? Think about the drone. Vic stood up and shuffled over to June. She took his arm and put it around her shoulder and helped him to the cockpit. They hadn't walked this way in a year or more. Think about the drone. Argmon, do we have any drones of our own? Argmon growled and shook his head. They'd have to do this the hard way. Tootsie, can you pilot the Iron Butterfly?
Yes, Vic.
Can you get it out there and get that drone off our tail before we get up to this first black hole?
I don't see your point, Vic. The drone would have plotted our course by now.
Yes, but they're not going to expect us to go in so close to those black holes.
That little drone also won't be able to follow us around the black hole either.
Tootsie, I didn't ask for an argument. If you're not going to go out there, what else can you do?
I can shut down all systems for 5 minutes. It'll fly past us. Then we continue on and trail it instead of it trailing us. The drone only has front-facing radar and tactics. If we're behind it, it'll circle around, and by that time, we should be well beyond its range.
But if you shut down for 5 minutes, won't we all die?
Vic, I'll leave life support on for you. It's looking for engines, power transmissions, things like that. If we're only running with life support, we'll be fine.
Kid, how close does that put us to landing on Planchar if we're down for 5 minutes?
No good. We've only got 4 minutes and 30 seconds as it is, and that's just an estimate.
Vic looked up and took a haggard breath. Tootsie, can you do this with less time?
Tootsie clicked.
Yes. The least amount of time I can do it for, and still assure it passes us by, is 3 minutes.
That gives us 1 minute to get on the ground once we hit the atmosphere on Planchar. Tootsie, I need you to signal ahead to Planchar as soon as we're back up. I want you to signal that we need a landing vector and possibly a crash course.
Shutting down all systems.
The lights went out, and the view screen darkened. They'd dropped out of hyperspace. Vic knew it was going to be a long 3 minutes. The only light in the entire ship emanated from a softly lit console. Argmon sat upright, with all four arms ready to get the ship back on course. Vic faltered, but June held him up. He wanted to hug her. He wanted to apologize again. He couldn't be angry at Joey. It wasn't the kid's fault he was here. It wasn't his fault that June liked him. Joey suddenly stood up.
Hey, Vic, I'm sorry. I should have let you sit down.
I'm all right.
No, you're not.
June reprimanded and unceremoniously dropped Vic into the seat.
We've only got another minute or so. Joey and I will go back to the lounge and buckle in. Argmon has the plot.
Yeah. You two go and get ready. This is going to happen fast. And she left. Happy for the darkness, Vic took a little comfort that they'd left. Perhaps June had even known he didn't want to be around them right now. But he didn't want them to go away. Hell, even he didn't know what he wanted right now. If he had his way, he'd just sell the ship and call it quits. The only one who was certain of in his loyalty was Argmon. They'd been at this together since the start. He knew he could put his life in Argmon's hands and never be disappointed. Well, he could do that with any of them. But it wasn't his life he was worried about. His heart. Now that was another matter.
I need to stop brooding, he told himself.
Argmon chuffed. Thanks for agreeing. Is it that obvious? Vic could just make out the hint of a smile on Argmon's snout.
Just keep your eyes on the road. As soon as Tootsie's back up, we need to move. I sure hope the kid's right on this one.
Do you think he's right?
Argmon's gaze never shifted, but he didn't answer. That spoke volumes to Vic. Argmon had enough confidence, or bravery. Either way, they were going to go fast around two black holes. No one had ever tried anything like this, and very likely no one ever would again. Tootsie's lights came back up. Hit it! Argmon hit the controls, and the ship took off. Joey gripped June's hand. This jumping in and out of hyperspace still unsettled him. The speed didn't bother him, but the feeling of his guts being ripped out of his body, twisted into a knot and shoved back in the wrong end, did. The view, though, was spectacular. June had given the command to make the walls semi-transparent and to dim all the lights. All around the lounge, just as Vic had shown when Joey first arrived, were surrounded by billions of pinpoints of light. Joey felt like a child as he craned his neck around, as if he needed to see each and every one of them. Two occupants of the room didn't share Joey's childlike view of the universe, Dexter and Jupnop. Both stared at Joey, Dexter with his three eyes blinking out of unison, and Jupnop with a freshly grown eye stalk. Joey hardly noticed. Instead, he found himself distracted by the myriad of stars in view. They shifted slightly as the ship moved, not nearly as fast as he would have thought, but then astronomical distances had to be taken into consideration. He tried to find anything in the sky that looked familiar, but laughed to himself. He'd have to be back on Earth for that. Earth. Would he ever see it again? Did he really want to? No. He needed to. Until he did, nothing in the galaxy would ever feel real. The only thing that felt real was June's hand in his. He liked how it felt. All right, folks. Hold on. We're approaching the first black hole. Let's see if this bucket of bolts holds together. Argmon growled at Vic's comment. I know what... Vic turned off the con and his voice cut out.
Time to see if you're right, June said. Based on simple computations, the gravity of the first black hole should nearly double our speed. You did take into account the gravity of the second is stronger than the first, didn't you? Tootsie helped me out with that. It should be like being shot from a slingshot.
Joey smiled. June now gripped his hand tighter. A shudder rocked the ship. For a moment, the lights came on inside the ship, then dimmed again. A constant rattle came from inside the bunk room.
What's that? Joey asked. Something must not be secured in there. Tootsie, seal off the bunk room.
Without a response, the door to the room slid closed.
Maybe we should close off all the doors, Joey said. Tootsie, seal the ship.
The door to the lounge closed. Still, Tootsie said nothing.
Why doesn't she answer? Doesn't she usually say something? She must be really busy keeping the ship together. There's more for her to do besides flying. Millions of tiny adjustments and calculations.
Oh. Jupnop looked at Joey.
The ship is not designed for this kind of stress.
Yes, but airplanes aren't intended to be flown through excessive weather, but they can hold up.
What is an airplane?
It's not important, June interrupted. What is important is that this ship should be able to withstand more than the normal forces, such as the gravity of a black hole.
The vibration intensified. Joey's teeth rattled inside his head. Hey, kid, did you plan on all this vibration in your calculations? Vic's voice wobbled up and down with the vibration of the ship. He hadn't.
Yes.
Our speed has already doubled. I'm not opposed to speed, but I don't think anyone has ever tried this before.
The ship will hold up.
Well... I won't be able to do anything to you if it falls apart. Just keep that in mind. The shaking unnerved Joey. He had anticipated a little vibration, but nothing to this extent. If it grew worse on the second black hole, he wasn't sure the ship would stay together. All his simple calculations for speed would be accurate. As for the stresses on the ship, he'd left that up to Tootsie. Based on her estimates, the ship would be reaching its normal operating limits, and he'd just added 10% to that and assumed everything would be all right.
Joey.
June snapped him back into the present.
Yeah. You okay?
Joey swallowed hard.
I'm fine. Based on Tootsie's estimates for stresses on the ship, it should hold up. I just didn't know there would be this much vibration.
Eep, eep, eep.
I know, Dexter, June said. This will pass. We'll be on Planchar in no time.
That no time lasted far longer than Joey wanted. He wiped a bead of sweat from his brow and settled in for the ride. He knew the next few hours was going to last a lifetime. Mike shook his head. No, he wasn't shaking his head. Something else took care of that. Opening his eyes, he found himself to be still inside the little black cruiser. His head ached. That boy, Joey, had hit him over the head with something. Not just once, but so many times. June had almost been done in, but Joey stopped everything. Great pleasure would be taken when Joey was killed. The vibration roused Mike's sluggish mind. The cruiser sat inside the cargo bay of the Acid Rat once again. Mike looked worriedly about.
Why am I not in the stasis field as they had done before?
Time had obviously passed him by, but they should have taken precautions. He didn't want to look at this freedom lightly. He had to take action before they discovered him. Mike shoved himself into the storage compartment of the cruiser and pulled the communication box closer to him. The boss would know what to do. Twice he'd failed to kill. Twice Mike would need to redeem himself. Mike turned the box on.
Boss, this is Mike.
No longer did he need to worry about being quiet. He pulled the box into the cockpit of the cruiser and made himself as comfortable as his body could be. The seats were not designed for him, but for a more human form. He stroked his beard as he waited for the boss to respond.
Report. Boss, I'm back on the SS Acid Rat. I tried to kill June, the girl, but I didn't succeed. Where is the ship headed now? It's shaking a lot. Something might be wrong with the ship. They put me in a stasis field, so I lost some time. I need to know where your ship is.
The boss's tone was flat and unreadable. Mike hated that about him. He pulled up a display on the cruiser's console. With a few commands, he found the flight path of the Acid Rat.
It looks like they're passing by two black holes on the way back to Planchar. Why are they doing that? I would think for speed's sake. That does not matter. I want you to scuttle the ship.
Scuttle?
Disable. Destroy. Anything. See what you can think up. Be creative. Do they have escape pods on board the ship?
Yes, a few.
Excellent. See to it that they evacuate ship. Judging by my calculations with their course, they'll be in an orbit around the black hole. That will give me time to get there and retrieve them. What should I do? Once they are off the ship, you can do with it as you please. I will no longer have need of your services. Your reward shall be waiting for you back on your home planet. Go and retrieve it.
So, that's it? You don't want me to kill any of them?
You may kill any except Vic. I shall extract my revenge in a more subtle way. Just get them off that ship.
The box switched off. But how would he get them off the ship? It had to be something they wouldn't suspect. Something, how had the boss put it? Subtle? Mike smiled. He knew exactly what he needed to do. The ship lurched violently, then resumed its steady vibrations. Mike had to hurry. This vibration would surely tear the ship apart. He couldn't let that happen if he needed it to get home. After a year, he'd finally be able to retire. If this was to be his last job, he had to do it right. Each time the SS Acid Rat crossed a dense magnetic field, the ship rocked and rolled, but not in a good way. Vic sweated from both poison fever and stress. He'd never been so on the edge before, but then he'd never had this series of circumstances to deal with. He could tell they were moving significantly faster based on the speed at which the stars moved and the size of the blackness on the side of the ship that grew with each passing minute. Nearly half the visible star field had been engulfed by the rapidly growing darkness. Vic felt the need to ask a stupid question again. Any sign of another probe from that police cruiser? Argmon growled, and with good reason. Vic asked his question at least 15 times over the past 2 hours, and the Shathar needed to concentrate. Tootsie also failed to respond to even simple commands. Vic sat and felt useless. June's sweetness to make Vic feel useful hadn't gone in vain. He did feel somewhat useful, yet he watched Argmon taxing himself to the point of exhaustion. Vic knew Arkmon's dedication could be nearly limitless, but even his yellow fur looked strained.
You need a break. It's been nearly 3 hours of this, and you're not even up to the second black hole yet.
Again, Argmon growled. Well, I need to get up for a minute. Can I bring you some food or something? Argmon didn't even move. They'd been flying for nearly 19 hours, and all of them had been awake for most of that time.
He got up and looked back at Argmon. He tried to think of something clever to say. Nothing came. Thanks. He pulled out a cigarette and lit it up as he walked back toward the kitchen. The vibration of the floor made walking difficult, and he'd nearly lost his balance more than once. It was odd having to open doors to his ship, but he grabbed a food tube from the kitchen and headed to the lounge. A smoke, a beer, and a bite to eat. That's all he needed. Well, maybe a dose of medication too, but beer first. He stumbled into the lounge, and nervous faces greeted him. Hey, why the long faces? We're about halfway there, right? We've held up this long. A massive jolt shook the ship, and Vic nearly fell into a nearby chair. June snapped at him. Just sit down and buckle in. Hey, I'm doing the best I can. Vic took a drag from his cigarette as he righted himself. I just need to get something to drink.
No, not on the medication you're on. You need rest, not beer.
Who said I wanted a beer? Vic defended himself. He knew that she knew he lied, but he suddenly didn't care. Waves of exhaustion overtook his body and he fell to the floor. When he woke up, he found himself strapped in a seat, barely able to keep his head up.
Vic, I've given you more medication.
I need something to keep me awake. June leaned over him.
What you need is rest. I can see it in your eyes.
Where's my cigarette? Did I drop it?
Yes, about half an hour ago. Now, either stay in that seat and relax, or go find a bunk and lay down.
How long has it been since you slept?
Me?
June laughed an incredulous laugh.
You need to start worrying about Vic. The rest of us are in.
A flashing light turned on, and a loud blasting siren brought Vic as close to fully conscious as he could be in his medicated state. What's that?
I was hoping you could tell us that. I've never heard that siren before.
I haven't either.
June groaned. Tootsie, what's that siren?
Tootsie didn't respond with anything more than an abrupt buzzing noise.
Vic, Tootsie is too busy keeping the ship together. Where's a panel where I can look up what that siren means?
Vic thought. He'd just been at that panel, hadn't he? He started to get up, but June pushed on his shoulder to hold him down. The pain shooting through his upper body took him to the brink of passing out again.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt you.
June leaned over him and inspected his bandages. Vic's vision faded in and out as he struggled to keep his head up. Passageway, he managed to say, and he pointed into the hallway. June, Joey, Dexter, and Jupnop all exited the lounge. As they did, three intense bangs rocked the ship, followed by an explosion. Vic groaned. It sounded like gravity finally had its way with the ship as the sounds of metal scraping against metal reverberated throughout the inside of the ship.
Vic!
June screamed from the hallway. About that time, the acrid smell of burning electronics confronted Vic's nose. Pain forgotten, Vic got to his feet. Something bad had happened. Possibly fatal, judging by June's yell. She sounded frightened. In the hallway, Vic felt his heart sink. Joey and Dexter were on the floor, both of them bleeding as fire erupted from the control panel. Tootsie, fire! Only the buzz responded. Tootsie's systems were all locked up, keeping the ship on track. No amount of money was worth this aggravation. Vic rubbed his temples. Something had to be done quickly, and he didn't have the strength. He didn't even have SBX-39 anymore. There was one hope. The computer from the Iron Butterfly.
Computer thing from the Iron Butterfly. I don't remember your designation.
The sound of the annoyed voice chimed up. I'm T-11. I don't care what your designation is. Can you access Tootsie's systems and put this fire out? A long pause ensued before it responded. Tootsie is busy, and I cannot ask her permission. I don't want you to ask permission. I want you to put this fire out.
But I cannot do so without proper authorization from the host system.
Put this fire out, or you'll find yourself floating back to Planchar. The rage in Vic's head caused his temples to throb. He had to lean against the wall to hold himself up. June had dragged Joey out of the way and pulled Dexter out of the way. Sparks flashed and sprayed them, but didn't do any real damage. Smoke had filled the top of the passageway. It seemed to take an eternity, but finally the fire system sprayed and extinguished the fire. Thanks. Now, what about the smoke?
It's not bothering me.
No, but you're starting to bother me. Recycle the air in the passageway.
But I'd require an advance authorization.
You tell me one more time about an authorization and I swear I'll rip you apart with my bare hands.
You haven't the strength.
No, but Argmon does. No hesitation this time, as the air evacuated from the passageway and was replaced with fresh air. Vic had finally found a way to make this computer subservient.
"Would you like me to put the other fire out?"
"Other fire?"
"The one that prompted the siren and lights to turn on."
"Yes, and turn the alarm off."
The lights and siren halted. Vic crumpled to the floor.
In her past, June had felt alone. She'd also felt frightened, even frightened and alone. But sitting in the bunk room aboard the SS Acid Rat with three unconscious crew members and a third that didn't have the ability to help, she was consumed by it. It ate at her very being as she fought back tears to bandage Joey's head. Dexter also looked to be in bad shape, but not as bad as Joey. Of course, it could just be the amount of blood coming out of Joey's head, or it could be that despite being on board with Dexter longer, she liked Joey better. She enjoyed having his company and talking coherently with someone and not fighting. The bandage was already red, but she needed to tend to Dexter, and she also needed to take care of Vic.
"Can I help?"
"Just stay out of the way." June wiped tears from her eyes. "Actually, get pillows and blankets if you can."
"Yes."
Jupnop galloped to the storage locker in the bunk room. His locomotion would prove to be a benefit. The computer from the Iron Butterfly chimed up.
"All fires have been extinguished."
"All? I thought the one in this passageway was the only one."
"No. Three more fires needed to be put out."
"Where?"
"In the cargo bay."
"In the cargo bay? Why would anything down there catch fire?"
"What started the fires?"
"I don't know. I don't have full access to Tootsie's systems."
"What do you need to access?"
she asked.
"No, never mind. Can you put a stasis field over these three?"
The computer paused.
"No, I do not have access to that field."
June finished with bandaging Dexter and pulled Vic into the bunk room. Jupnop returned with two pillows, dropped them to the floor, and left to get more. Finally, the little slime ball was being useful. The vibration of the ship worsened. June tucked a pillow under Joey's head and one under Vic's. Jupnop returned again.
"I need you to keep an eye on these three while I see if Argmon can come back and help me move them into the racks."
She felt bad after she said it, when she looked at its only eye stalk, but she didn't have time to say anything better. She ran from the bunk room and up the ladder. She raced along the passageway to the cockpit with Argmon.
"Argmon!"
She tried to catch her breath.
"Vic, Joey, and Dexter are all hurt. I need your help getting them into racks so they won't bounce around. The ship is shaking a lot, and I'm worried they'll get hurt even more."
Argmon shook his head almost imperceptibly, but he wasn't going to move. In the view screen, the stars moved faster than she'd ever seen them move before, even when Vic and Argmon pressed the ship to its highest limits of speed. So far, Joey had been right with the ship being able to withstand the forces of gravity from the black hole, but soon they'd pass into the pull of the second black hole, and would be pulled from two sides, and not just one. Would the ship hold up then?
"Argmon, it's not worth it. We need to stop."
Argmon motioned with his snout to the rear views of the ship. June had to squint to look through the blackness, but something sat hidden there. She touched the display to make it larger. She gasped and made the image larger again. The police cruiser from Bomda, in its blue and gold glory, followed them. Though it was far behind in pursuit, if they stopped now, they would be overtaken and, of course, arrested.
"I guess it's do or die now, huh?"
Argmon didn't respond, but instead steeled his glare at the view screen and the display of numbers across the top of the control panel. June didn't know what the numbers meant, but she knew the ones in red weren't a good sign. She would have to get the rest into the bunks on her own. She didn't know how, but she'd have to try. Without a word, she left Argmon to pilot the ship. Another rock of the ship slammed June into the wall, causing her to hit her head. Her vision blurred for a moment, and she nearly lost her balance. A second jolt, and she stood upright again, her eyes seeing double. She fought the shaky floor, but managed to get back to the bunk room.
"They need..."
"I know what they need, Jupnop,"
June snapped. Her ears were ringing. She needed to be lying down as well, but there wasn't time for that. She had to do what she could to get them back into the racks.
"Another fire," the computer interrupted. "Now extinguished."
June hefted Dexter, easily the heaviest of the three, into a lower bunk. Shimura pushed and rolled him into it as lifting Dexter proved to be an impossibility. Next, she struggled to get under Joey. Although in his youth, he weighed nearly as much as her. She'd never tried to lift her own weight, and it proved to be quite a feat. She placed him in the bunk just above Dexter. Vic, she also didn't want to carry, but he needed gentler handling. Dexter and Joey had only been knocked unconscious by the blast from the computer. Vic had deep wounds, and in his delicate condition, wouldn't hold up to too much jostling. As gently as she could, she dragged him across the floor, holding him by his feet. When she got him near a bunk, she dumped his feet into the bunk and sat on the floor. Her breath came in short gasps. Her mind reeled and her vision still hadn't fully returned. The vibration of the ship didn't help matters, nor did her frayed nerves. She wanted to go home. Just go home. Why were they all so stubbornly trying to get the ship back to Plant Char? Why? June took a deep breath and righted herself and got her arms under Vic's body. Only a few inches she had to lift him. Only a few inches. Vic weighed only slightly more than Joey, but after getting Joey and Dexter into bunks, Vic's slack, uncooperating body didn't go up high enough. She struggled to hold him into the air. She didn't want to drop him for fear of hurting him more, but she had to put him back down. Gritting her teeth, she tried again. Once he was in the rack, he would be all right, possibly even safe from the vibration of the ship. With her last ounce of strength, she lifted Vic up and leaned forward, pulling, pushing, and getting Vic into the rack. Once he was in place, she laid upon his chest. She didn't have the strength to move off. His injuries! Had she the power left in her, she would have leapt off of Vic, but her movements were considerably slower. Still, she got off him and lay on the floor.
Another fire in the cargo bay, the computer reported.
Where are all these fires coming from? June asked, gasping for breath.
The fires are...
The voice faded into a static, followed by loud feedback, then silence. June sat up.
Computer!
Nothing.
I think there is trouble.
No kidding. I never knew you were a genius.
June instantly regretted snapping a jupnop like that.
I will investigate the cargo bay and report. You rest.
Thank you, jupnop. I'm sorry I snapped at you.
Think nothing of it. I am not affected by this vibration.
Well, I am. I need some rest. I'll be right here in a rack when you get back.
Jupnop left the room, and June crawled in the rack just above Vic. She didn't want to, but she closed her eyes and fell asleep. A deep, dreamless sleep born of exhaustion.
You've been listening to V&A Shipping, written and read by J.R. Murdoch. For more information about this podcast and its author, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com. V&A Shipping is released under a Creative Commons, Attributions Only, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives Works 3.0. Feedback can be sent to jrmurdoch@ofgnomesanddwarves.com, or you can find me at Twitter or Facebook as J.R. Murdoch. There's a lot of podcast fiction out there. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this one.